today on Wings.
My name is Kabahenda Flavia Rwabuhoro. I'm a member of parliament in the Parliament of Uganda, and I chair the Committee on Gender, Labour and Social Development. And I'm glad to have been invited on the discussion of the girls and young women, sexual exploitation on children, and protecting the young women and girls from being sexually exploited.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
In early December 2022, women leaders from East Africa converged on Mombasa, Kenya, to discuss ending sexual exploitation of children. The meeting was organized by the Kenya Alliance for Children's Rights, with funding from She Leads, a 5-year program of Plan International in the Netherlands. Wings correspondent Diana Wanyonyi interviewed Uganda Member of Parliament Kabahenda Flavia Rwabuhoro. The efforts in Uganda and worldwide are based on a number of international agreements.
For us as Uganda, we derive the powers from the Beijing Platform for Action of 1995, where the girl child was one of the 12 very critical areas that were in the discussion. And of course, the CEDAW, the Convention on Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, also presented girls at the priority lists for protection against discrimination, against stigmatization, against stereotyping, and of course against keeping quiet when they are abused sexually. And so as Uganda, since that time, we have come up with a number of laws. The Domestic Violence Act, we have come up with the Female Genital Mutilation Act, we have come out with the Anti-Trafficking in Persons Act, we have the Anti-Pornography Act, that was meant to support the young people from being abused using pornography and vulgarization. Now we recently passed the Computer Misuse Act, where we had started registering young girls being exploited, others being murdered, others being trafficked using cyber and computer misuse. And so the regulations are being developed by the ministry. We gave the ministry 120 days, close to 4 months, for them to present these regulations to Parliament for us to see whether they are going to work on the vices that we identified when we came up with this law. And the Ministry of Gender, Labour and Social Development, which is the bedrock for children and young people, has developed parenting guidelines after discovering that very many people want to be mothers and fathers, but they are not ready to parent. And we have found that a very, very big vice, that people have no time, people are running around, even people produce children without their consent, others are raped, others are defiled. And so we have found ourselves in a community where there are many children, but no parents. And so we have developed parenting guidelines 2021, and these guidelines are being popularized. We are using them to train the local council vice chairpersons who are mandated with child protection and family protection. And so we are trying to popularize them so that these vice chairpersons, right from local council one at the village, are aware of the guidelines, and so they can assist us at every opportunities, weddings, funeral events. They can talk about these guidelines and support the parents to take care of the young people and the children from being exploited. The implementation now is the big gap, because implementation needs financing. And in the wake of the global recession, and of course earlier on, the finances of the government being not a lot, we cannot finance full scale. So the finances let down the implementation and the enforcement, because you will find enforcement officers lacking. Each parish or each ward requires an enforcement officer. But sometimes the enforcement officer are sharing wards, one for three or one for two. And so they may not necessarily reach the household where abuse happens. Because much as people were saying, home is the best. Today, as we talk, home has become the worst because that's where abuse takes place. And so I think we need to enhance on implementation, on enforcement, finance them, operationalize these laws that we pass. And of course, as a parliament, we need to do a post-legislative scrutiny to find out whether the laws we pass and the frameworks are workable, are practical, can be implemented. And when they are not, then we need to review, to interrogate these laws.
My name is Ngele Shalinda. I'm a Shield's advocate from Uganda.
This teenage girl was also a delegate to the meeting in Mombasa about sexual exploitation of children. She herself was almost married off at age 12, but her mother saved her. She emphasizes what the Member of Parliament said, that enforcement of child protection laws is desperately needed in the area of Uganda where she lives.
When you look at Karamoja, it is just a small region, but even in the rankings, in the statistics, it is just competing like other countries on sexual exploitation of children, mostly on child trafficking, both internally and externally, where girls are being exploited, being raped, made to sleep with dogs and other animals, and also their kidneys being removed from their bodies. One of the girls' kidney was removed and the parents were subjected to come and pick the dead body, which was quite tough. It was really quite a sad moment. Despite being a girl from that region, growing up under the bad cultural practices, I really embrace our culture a lot. It's really a nice culture, but some of the negative cultural practices should be eliminated in our region. Female genital mutilation has caused a rampant death among the girls, and there is also forcing of a child to get married to an old man. And I used to see most of the girls crying, and they used to tell me a lot. Some of the girls, in fact, living even their own places, like trying to go and look a life somewhere else. And also on gender-based violence, my mom used to go through a lot, and she could really talk to us like, don't do like this, and she used to guide us a lot. I really appreciate Uganda because they came up with a computer act where if a person puts something like exposing a body or some of the pornographic videos on media, that person should be subjected to imprisonment. So I really thank the government of Uganda, though I would really appreciate them if they could enforce such kind of policies to the grassroots, because always this vice always starts from the grassroots.
According to the Member of Parliament, COVID has made child exploitation even worse.
I think much of our laws need to review because COVID presented a different picture from what we knew. And so time is now when we have to look at the policies and frameworks to ensure that now they can get out these issues that came up with COVID, teenage pregnancies, early marriages, child abuse, child labor, all those create spaces for children to be exploited. It is evident that Uganda, when we were in COVID, we registered close to 1.8 million teenage pregnancies in the country. And we are dealing with that now because if the women will not access education and other economic support, then we shall have a failed community. We shall not have a productive community, because if the girls are going to have these teenage pregnancies, we are going to have isolated children, we are going to have destitute children, we are going to have street children, because the mothers will abandon them. So we are coming back to the table to look at the child mothers. And that is why we even came up with these parenting guidelines, so that parents should stop taking things for granted, that if I leave a relative at home, I have left my children safe, when actually you may actually have left the children with an unsafe person. So Uganda is very worried about the amount of teenage pregnancies we registered. And now every local government has been tasked, the district community development officers have been tasked to go back and collect this information, because the data is very key to our planning and implementation. So we have tasked them with going and collecting rudimentary data to tell us the exact, because these 1.8 million are the ones we got from the health centers where they delivered from. But very many did not deliver from health centers for fear, for stigma, even from non-financial services to reach them there. So we are now going back to get the actual data so that our interventions can come out. In the budget that we are now beginning to consider, we want to put money on supporting against child labor, against street children, and to support these teenage girls with skilling and training and taking them back to schools. So for us in Uganda, we have taken the teenage pregnancies very seriously. And of course, girls going back to school has been a very great challenge to us. Even those who did not get pregnant now have grown big, and they fear stigmatization when they go to school with big breasts and big bodies and big bums, so the boys will laugh at them. So they have chosen to stay home. And some of those who have been forced to go back to school have suffered psychosocial aspects. And so I think we need to go back and get psychosocial care support to the schools, because as Uganda, in the month of October alone, we registered 9 school-going children committing suicide. 5 this year, October, 1 month. And those are the ones who are reported. We don't know who were not reported. 9 children, school-going age, adolescents committing suicide. If you see a primary 5 girl hanging herself, you'd ask yourself, why? Because earlier on in primary 5, someone would be a kid, not to even think about what goes on. But today, the children have mental problems. We need to finance mental health support in the country. And I think we need to review our mental health policies and offer psychosocial care support. 5 of the 9 were girls. And one of the girls even left a letter to the parents to tell them that when her uncle got vacation after completing his exams, he came home to have his holiday there. And the whole holiday, he was abusing this girl and telling her that she should never speak out on this. She suffered abuse on a daily when the parents did not notice it. And then when the uncle went, the parents realized that she had deteriorated in class, and they hired a teacher to coach her at home. The teacher also abused her without the notice of the parents. So I think she blamed the parents for not caring, not even thinking about the men they bring to her. And so she decided to commit suicide and left him a letter, said, I realized that I'm in the world alone, and so I've decided to leave the world for you. And she went. So how many such children do we have in our homes? You come home, you don't even ask her about how the house girl treated her, how the siblings treated her, how the community treated her, how the day went, what she's going through, the transitions that are happening in her body and the psyche. And so I think that's why Uganda came up with these parenting guidelines, and I'm sure they are going to support us a great deal. We need to finance the enhancement of popularization of these parenting guidelines so that we call on parents to take parenting more seriously.
On Wings, the topic is efforts to end child sexual exploitation in Uganda. Member of Parliament Kabahenda Flavia Rawabuhoro chairs the Committee on Gender, Labor, and Social Development. She sees Uganda setting a standard that other countries want to emulate.
We have seen delegations from Africa come to benchmark on Uganda over the good laws and on how we implement them. First of all, in the Parliament of Uganda, we have representatives of vulnerable people, who we call special interest groups. We have representatives of the youth, the young people, women and men. We have representatives of women. We have representatives of older persons. We have representatives of people living with disabilities. We have representatives of workers, because even in employment, these women are exploited. We are now amending the employment bill to include a clause on sexual harassment at workplaces. And most of the people harassed are women. To even talk about lactating corners at workplaces, so that these women, instead of asking for more maternity leave, they can at least carry their babies to a maternity, to a lactating corner at the workplace, so that they watch their babies as they work. So all these, Uganda, I think, has been ahead, because very many countries have learned from us. As the Uganda Women Parliamentarians Association, we have succeeded with very many policies and private members' bills. The private members' bill, called the Employment Amendments Bill, that is supposed to support young women who are at workplaces, emanates from the UOPA, because the private member is an executive member of UOPA. We succeeded in passing the Succession Act. Even when your husband dies, when you have no kid, when you have one kid, as long as you were legally married, you have your entitlements. Your children have their entitlements. Some of these items had been put in the Marriage and Divorce Bill, which faced a lot of contention for the last close to 20 years. And now we are unpacking it and bringing it in bits. We are now pushing the Sexual Offences Bill so that we clearly mark where sexual offences happen, including cyber sexual harassment.
This interview took place during the United Nations 16 Days Against Gender-Based Violence. WOPA is short for the Uganda Women Parliamentary Association.
As members of WOPA, all these 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, we have been down in the villages, we have even sensitizing members of parliament, male and women, about violence and how it happens, not only in households, but even through language, at schools, in the streets. Men are attacking women for their, for how they grew, they are developed. Big breasts, thin legs, and they will call all sorts of names. So these violences, we are trying to speak out on them and to call on everyone to take it upon themselves to stop using bad language, to stop harassing the other gender, to stop demeaning and discriminating. You know, COVID broke down the schools. The schools are no longer the same. Every structure that had been instituted in schools broke down. We are just restoring them, including co-curricular activities, to occupy these girls so that they don't keep thinking about other things, so that we have the senior woman teacher who they can run to as their confidant, and this career guidance to support these girls on subjects where they have phobia. So I think we have to rebuild the schools to offer psychosocial support. We have to rebuild schools to occupy the young people the more, so that they are not attracted to risk behavior and risk activities, and also to start talking about sexuality
openly
and tell them about the harm, the risks, so that even when they are going there, they can either use safer pathways or they can avoid. Because the more we keep quiet, the more we are going to lose them. We are better off telling them what that world is about and how harmful it can be if you went to that world without caution, and so that we can protect.
How is tradition to curb gender-based violence?
First of all, we know cultural institutions, they are custodians of our culture. We can work with them to stop the harmful practices in our cultures. And after talking to the region of Karamoja and the Sebei region, we came up with the Female Genital Mutilation Act. Otherwise, if the cultural institutions had not worked with us, they should have fought it. But today, we implement it with them to stop female genital mutilation in those cultures. And the cultures that have been supporting early marriages, cultures in Kasese, cultures in the Midwestern, the Bahima, and cultures who harass these girls to go and fend for families through early marriages. So it has supported us a lot to restore cultural institutions and to work with faith-based organizations to make sure that even at the church level, they can talk against cultural practices that are harmful to these girls and young women.
Even in mosques?
Even in mosques, yes. All those faith-based organizations must speak against harmful cultures. And of course, government still continues to do its work in sensitization of communities against harmful practices.
And how are you reaching women in rural areas?
The good thing is that Uganda has the National Council for Women. and it was established through a law, the National Council for Women's Act. It has structures from the national up to the village. And so the chairperson of the Council for Women at the village level is supposed to ensure that households are safe for girls, women, and everyone. They are the kind of ombudsman against domestic violence. And now in this budget that is running, we ensured as Parliament that we gave them an enhancement of 1.8 billion Uganda shillings to support the structures of National Council for Women up to the village to ensure that they mobilize, they protect, they support these women to ensure that they involve in economic activities and also they are protected from harmful practices and violence.
What is the role of judiciary, maybe our courts?
Yes.
If the perpetrator is arrested, what is the sentence? And do you have maybe case backlog of gender-based violence, and what is the parliament doing about it?
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges we have is justice. First of all, the justice centers are a distance from the clients. That is one hiccup, that the client needs to carry the witnesses to the justice center kilometers and even pay transport. But the process is so long, there is a lot of backlog, that they will get tired and just drop the case. Because the girl will be growing up. And now she says, I can no longer. And of course, it is recent that we even established the closed courts that can hear these girls in camera and not in the public courts. Earlier on, they were putting them in public courts and then asked questions that are kind of vulgar. How did he do it? How did he do it? And then the girl would just say, me, I'm not going there. But today we have established courts that are closed so that those cases of defilement and rape can be heard in camera. But at the same time, the backlog is there. Evidence usually is tampered with because the parents do not want to have this child not bathed because she has to present herself the way she is. So most times people tamper with evidence. Secondly, there's a lot of compromises and conspiracy that the family may conspire with the defiler or the raper and they get money and they distort the justice process against the girl. That is why we are coming up with the Legal Aid Bill that will even give authority to community litigation so that even a community member can decide to take these two families which have conspired to court and support this girl for protection. Even when they have got money and kind of resolved, one community member can now go to court and litigate against these families. So I hope that the parliament passes the legal aid bill very fast so that we can offer legal aid to the vulnerable people in this country.
And actually, I also think that these closed courts, they are giving more confidence to
the girls to speak up, to even talk about how it all went, and that the parents will also hear about how it all started and how it has been happening. I think it has now continued to give evidence. Now more girls can come out and report.
Do you think men parliamentarians, our fathers, and men outside there, they're supporting this initiative of making sure that the girl child is not abused?
The bad thing we have been doing earlier on is to feminize the campaign against gender-based violence. We have been calling it a woman's thing. It is the women and girls suffering. But I want to tell you, even men are suffering. Even the boy child is suffering. And so we need to balance the discussion. That if it is gender-based violence, let us have a balanced protection. We were amazed. I had never even put it in my thinking that actually the remand homes, the juvenile detention centers, are full of boys. Because the parents have protected the girl so much and left the boy freelance. Because they think when the boy does not get pregnant, he cannot be spoiled. For him, he can be playing there and going to the neighborhood. The girl must stay here. And so we have supported the girl too much. And the boys have become very bad husbands, very bad CEOs, very bad members of parliament, very bad leaders, and the girls have suffered in their hands. So we are better off coming together and pushing this advocacy together. For us in Uganda, we have changed the campaign. It is not a feminized GBV. It is GBV for every Ugandan. Every Ugandan is entitled to peace. And so we need to ensure that there is peace at school, peace in the household, peace everywhere we go. Respect for each other is better. So we need a balanced campaign, a balanced advocacy on gender-based violence.
And men have come out.
Because the debate we held in Parliament about the statement on the 16 days of activism that was presented by the Minister of Gender, the Speaker allowed only the men to debate. That day, only men debated, no woman. It is only me who is the chair of the committee that was raised after the men had debated, so that I raised the minister to respond to what the men had delivered. And men were telling us, you women, as long as you are going to leave this discussion of gender-based violence to women alone, for us men, we shall sit back and look at you. You empower yourselves, you'll find us at home. So you are better off involving us, involving the men, to campaign for the protection of women. And I think that was for us the biggest challenge, because we have so much empowered women and the men have folded their hands and they are looking on. And the women now have become the breadwinners as the men look on. Yes, you are empowered. Go ahead.
Which is wrong.
So the women won't succeed as long as the men are not on board. I want to caution you, my dear sisters, that violence is a big thing, and it starts with me. People start being violent in their hearts. Parents, take care of the children at home. Don't think that by you going to work, you are doing it for the children. The children may leave you with your work and you lose them all. You are better off balancing workplace with household. And that is why I want to call on all governments to support women with unpaid care work. We are not saying pay us for the unpaid care work we do. We are saying provide the necessary facilities and infrastructure for us not to spend all our time in unpaid care work. You can do maize meals. You can bring the health centers nearer. You can give us water nearer so that this woman does not have to trek 10 kilometers to find water. Try to put things nearer to us. If this woman has to work at your workplace, put the lactation corner there so that she comes with her baby, the baby is in the center, then she will give you all the necessary work you need and will achieve for you. Unpaid care work is taking a lot of women's time for them to involve in economic empowerment. So we are, as governments, let us support the women with the right infrastructure.
Thank you so much, my
lord. Wings correspondent Diana Wanyonyi interviewed Uganda Member of Parliament Kabahenda Flavia Rwabuhoro at a meeting about ending child sexual exploitation in East Africa. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or find a link at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including Youth Community Radio Stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found through the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.